Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Mimi.
Oh. Hey, Gigi.
When you're driving around, just seeing the town, sitting bored at home, feeling all alone, fill up a glass, pick out a glass. We got the tea, we got the sauce. Get queerified.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's get queerified.
Welcome to Queerified. I'm your host, Gigi Gorgeous. I'm a YouTuber. I'm an actress, model, philanthropist, author.
Singer, model, actress, pageant queen, author, socialite, and great human.
I'm a woman of many traits. And this is my co-host, Mimi, my best friend ever, my longest friend of 18 years.
18 years.
Oh my God, we're so old. And we're only 19.
Only 19. 2003?
Yes, precisely. So what you can expect from this podcast is everyone within the LGBTQIA plus community and some allies too, shedding light on their stories, giving advice, telling their tale, and inspiring you at the end of the day. Every single episode, you're going to walk away with something that you didn't know before and also laugh along the way. I'm so excited for our guests.
This is our first episode of our new podcast. We're fucking podcasters.
Literally.
How do you feel?
I mean, I'm nervous. I'm excited. I want everyone to really get into it just like we have. We put so much work behind this. Mm-hmm. Like all of our friends, all of our special guests, like they have so much to say and we have so much great content coming out. We both know how much this is going to impact people, but I just can't wait for everyone to listen. I just want this to be out there and I'm so ready really to hear what you guys have to say.
This is a safe space. We will share everything, like what it was like growing up queer, the successes and lessons of life, and how to celebrate queer joy every day.
And the number one thing is we need to hear from you. So call our hotline at 1-844-QUEERYS, which is 1-844-QUEERYS. Nothing is off limits. Ask us questions about coming out, sex tips, advice, literally anything you want, and we will answer. And maybe your voicemail will make it into the next podcast.
Call us.
So today's episode, I'm sitting down with my husband and Mimi, and it is the most real, the most raw, and the most vulnerable we've ever really been. And I'm very excited for you guys to listen to this interview, learn more about us as a couple, our experiences, our life, our family, and all of that juiciness. So without further ado, should we get into it?
Yeah. Today is a very special day on Queerified. We are here with married couple, Gigi Gorgeous and Nat Getty.
Hey, hey. Yeah, oh my God, yeah. This feels so weird. It's my podcast, but I feel like we are sitting down and doing like an Oprah interview.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Thanks for being here, Nat.
You're so welcome.
Thanks for being our first in-person guest. All three of us right now are in the same room.
Yeah.
Yes, it feels very weird. No headphones. It feels almost like the way it's supposed to be.
And there's a knock here. At the door.
Here, 1 second. Hold my mic. I'm going to go get Nat's beer.
Okay. Nat's. You're in Toronto right now, looking out at the skyline.
Yeah.
How does it feel to be in Gigi's hometown?
I usually love coming here. Uh-huh. it's really dope. I love the six. It sucks that we're stuck in quarantine right now, but I'm stoked to be here. I'm stoked to see you.
Mm-hmm. I'm so happy to see you.
Yeah. I don't get to see you often enough, so that's lovely.
Uh-huh. I haven't seen both of you in more than a year and a half.
I know it's crazy though, but I feel like with people that you really connect with, people who are friends that you consider family, your chosen family, whatever, it takes 1 minute for everything to go back to normal. And I feel like that's how like we are.
Oh,
that's how I am with you. That's how Nats is with you. I feel like it's just like we never left.
Exactly.
Yeah.
we're here on this interview.
Yes.
I'm really excited.
I'm like nervous. I feel like you're going to fuck with me.
I mean, maybe Gigi,
not so much. I'm kind of used to this with you with like doing your videos and stuff. But Mark, on the other hand, or Mimi, shall I say, I foresee some trouble.
Can I ask you what your dating life was like before Gigi?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, if you want.
Yeah.
My dating life before Gigi was chaotic. Like, I don't think that it's a secret to Gigi that I was like somewhat of like a playboy or whatever you want to call it. But actually it was like a lot of really like abusive and toxic relationships just with like, for the most part, like really terrible people. And it was like actually like a very traumatizing time in my life up until I met Gigi. And I think that's why I felt like so in love with her, because like she was the first person to like see me for me and like treat me totally correctly and just like completely embrace like me and all of my baggage and all the bullshit that I came with. Like she was just like down. And so that was really just like the biggest turning point, because like prior to her, my experiences were pretty damaging. Like the best example is like my dating experience pretty much started off with my first like experience with a woman. I was 15, she was 30, and my tutor.
Oh,
so
my like, God.
She was engaged to a guy, and so it was like really traumatic and like horrible for my self-esteem and like mental health. And like I had to go through like a lot of therapy for that, and like it took me a really long time to realize like that was like totally abuse. Like that's not okay. And it pretty much was like downhill from there.
Wow.
Yeah. It was I mean, I'm grateful for the experiences, because obviously it led me to Gigi. But I filled my days with like a lot of just empty bullshit, toxic people.
I'm so sorry you had to go through that, because I've only known you since Gigi.
Yeah.
Everybody you know, they always talk about how horrible it was before. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know you then.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I knew Gigi before you. And I mean, I just want to say, before you, when we were very young, Gigi was never really a romantic person.
It took me a really long time to even be in touch with my emotions.
I know.
I think it was, I mean, still now, I honestly do have trouble connecting with how I truly feel, recognizing that. And I've never been to like therapy or anything intense like that. So it's like, I really do like to focus on the happy. I feel like when you've had such bad things happen to you, such traumatic things, you really try to go to the best positive, happy state. I feel like the happiest people are the people who have been through the most shit.
Well, that's because they've had to find strength and now they're strong.
Exactly. Yeah. So I didn't like to live my life being sad or being vulnerable or weak. And like, I was just brought up that that's just literally how I brought myself up, you know, in a house with boys. I have two brothers. It was just that kind of vibe. So for me, it was like, it's my way or the highway. I'm going to do what makes myself happy. And to an extent, I'm still the same way.
It works for me. I would agree with that.
It keeps me happy. It keeps me sane. But I feel like for the most part, it was when I started transitioning that I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to break it down, start hormones, you know, really get in touch with who I am. And that's when the romance, I guess, or the emotional side came along.
And you changed. When Nats came along, it was such a major change, because I've always been a romantic and I've always tried to get you to feel the feelings I felt. Like, I wanted you to be happy like I was happy in relationships.
Yes.
But that was not your tea, so I gave up on that. Like, okay, Gigi's, I'm going to be in long-term relationships. Gigi's going to be independent and single her whole life.
Right. I feel like I was in a relationship with my job, though, during that time. Like, I fully was so committed to working, building my brand, wanting to be a brand, build an empire, be Gigi Gorgeous, and thrive during that. Because I knew that working at McDonald's, which I worked at, working at a clothing store, which I worked at, was not my destiny. Like, I'm not going to find that. I'm not going to marry someone and be a housewife. I need to make this name for myself.
Back
I need to make
up.
A life for myself.
That's offensive to me.
I mean, hello. I mean, different strokes for different folks. No, but it was something to me that was so like, I just needed to do that for myself, and traveling and, you know, like whoring myself out in a sense. I feel also Nats and I, so before he transitioned and right as I transitioned, I feel like we both were in the business of turning people.
Like, yeah, explain both of
so
you.
So in the club, you'd make out with somebody. They didn't know your tea. Mm-hmm. And it would just be like, oh, I got away with murder kind of thing, which is so horrible, so awful. Like, I would try to pass like I wasn't trans. And it's disgusting. And I remember we were talking to a friend of ours. It is. It is sadness. It is true, true sadness. And we were talking to a friend. Nats and I were talking to a friend of ours. And the person was saying, oh, my God, it's so nice to see you so happy. And in a relationship with Gigi, you know, you're married now. It's so crazy. I'm still in the club trying to kiss straight girls. And it's really sad. And it brought me back to that time. And I was like, holy fuck. Like, that used to be my reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were in the same clubs, like doing the same things. Cause like my whole thing was like, I didn't like gay women. Uh-huh. So I would like run around and like try and hook up with these straight girls. And like I succeeded at it, but like it was like totally terrible and just like.
Cause it never goes anywhere.
Yeah. And if it did, it's like I always end up getting like cheated on and it would be like with a guy. And then I would just like end up looking at myself being like, oh, I'm not enough. Like blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So I like never gave myself the room to like actually be like loved and like actually in a commitment. And so like we were literally running around the same clubs, like doing the same shit,
literally same club, same night, probably within arm's reach of each other.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Never met each other. Yeah. It's insane to me because these clubs in LA are they're really small, you know. It's not like humongous Vegas clubs. Like it's like what, like 100 people in the club. It's like I can't believe we never met. Slash, like, even looking back now, like, you never saw me, Nats, running around with my blonde hair extensions.
I mean, I'm sure I did.
Like, I was at every table when I was at a club, you know? Like, yeah, it's crazy. It's insane.
Why do you think you didn't like gay girls?
I think that it probably had a lot to do with, like, my first experience because, like, a huge part of, like, the allure was, like, finding this woman and, like, getting her to be attracted to me even though I was, like, literally 15 and she was with some dude, and like that to me was like more interesting than anything because I felt like powerful and like I really don't know. I know that there's like a lot of like other like lesbians and gay people that have like a super similar experience.
It's very common. I've had that too, of course.
And also like I wasn't involved in like the West Hollywood gay scene or like the lesbian scene because like I was in and out of rehab. I was living in a different part of Los Angeles. Like my brother's gay. We grew up in the same household, but like we lived two very different like gay experiences growing up because he was really involved in the community. And at that point of time, I wasn't. So like the only thing around me was like these like drug addicts, like straight girls, like whatever. And that was just like my reality at the time. And I mean, technically, like when I met Gigi, it was like another person that I was trying to like flip or whatever you want to call it. But like with G, obviously it was different because she wasn't like somebody that was just like, oh, I want to be gay for a little bit and like this will be like a funny YouTube video. Like it was,
which it easily could have been.
It could have been. Yeah, it totally could have like turned into that, but it wasn't. It was somebody that had and has and like an amazing huge open heart and an amazing huge open mind.
When this happened, the two of you got together, everything made sense.
Totally.
Like, to me, like, oh, that's why you would tell me that the barista, that lesbian barista at Starbucks was cute.
Oh my God,
that's why you would ask me these questions, that you would say these little things.
I think, Emily, so that barista at Starbucks, this drive-through Starbucks I used to go to in Mississauga, literally every single day, there was a barista there, and she was like, it was weird, right? Yeah. Like, I think that she said, like, yes, like, this is he or whatever about himself. And then it was like, oh yeah, but my name is Emily.
Yeah.
And that was my first interaction with that. And I was like, oh my God, like, why am I like, you know, feeling this way or whatever?
But I just shut it down. I was like, no.
I wonder if he's transitioned by now.
I know. Emily from Starbucks, or that was your former name, formerly known as Emily.
Winston Churchill, right?
Or Prince Michael in Oakville, but we don't know. Please call in.
Oh, that's so interesting. Oh my God. I hope so. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I hope he's happy.
Me too.
I hope they're happy.
When
you first met, and I'm sure the story is out there, so we're not going to get into it. Find it on YouTube. How long was it till you guys got engaged?
Two years. 2 years. Yeah.
Oh, like, it felt so much shorter than that.
2 years, 2 years. And then a year until we got married after that.
Yeah.
But
like a year and a half.
We're the kind of couple. I mean, it's weird that you say that because it just feels like a lifetime to me. Like I almost look at my life like obviously pre-Nats, post-Nats. But like, I just can't believe like that I just never knew Nats my whole life. Like, yeah. It just feels like, of course Nats has been in my life. Like, we're the kind of couple that, like, we started dating and then we literally were together every single day. Maybe not all day every day because, like, we have to work and stuff, but, like, every day. We'd be like, well, what are you doing? What, like, time can we fit in? Like,
no, it was, and just, it just always instantly, like, whether it was, like, I remember right after we started dating or, like, the beginning of that, you had to go to New York to go and do something and you had to come back here to Canada for, like, 2 weeks to, like, wrap up filming for your documentary. And I was, like, so heartbroken because I just spent the last two straight weeks with you. And it was, like, right in that time that I was, like, okay, like, no matter what, how busy we are, we have to make sure that we make a way to, like, fit into each other's lives. And that's when we kind of both, like, made, like, the unconscious decision to be like, okay, if you're traveling, I'm traveling with you, vice versa. Mm-hmm. If you have a work thing and I'm allowed to come, I'm coming with you. If you're shooting, I'm going to come on set. And we just made sure, like, no matter how busy we were, that the most important thing was, like, making time for each other. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Can I tell a funny story?
Yes. Go for it.
This is very early on in you guys' relationship. Mm-hmm. We were in Toronto. Tell me if you guys remember it, or if Nats remembers it, Gigi won't. And we
Why?
Were, you, I don't think you were there. Oh. No, or like, okay, so we were in an Uber, and you must have been in the front of the Uber, and Nats and I were in the back. We were very drunk, as always.
Sure.
What was it for? Why were we here?
Maybe it was the first time I came here ever, like, to meet your family around Canadian Thanksgiving. I'm assuming.
Probably, yes.
And it's like the first time I got to meet Mark and, like, all of your Canada friends.
I remember. There's a photo of us, like, carrying a pumpkin out of my dad's front door.
Something like that. Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah.
But we were drunk and we were just talking. I don't know how we got into the topic. Maybe I was thinking of getting engaged back then. But Nats tells me, oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to get engaged. I'm going to propose. It's going to be at a French castle with fireworks. And I laughed it off. I was like, sure. Fast forward to the engagement. I see the video and it's exactly how you explained it.
Well, I mean, I do remember that. And the only way I can explain it is, like, yeah, I've always, like, felt like there's, like, been a romantic side to me, but I never fully got to express it to its full extent with anyone except for Gigi. And that was the only thing that I could think of that was fit for, like, A, Gigi as a person, and B, to, like, represent, like, how much I loved her. And I think I knew that, like, really early on, and I, like, definitely wasn't ashamed to, like, let that be known.
Like, I was gagged. I was like, oh my God, he was serious that time.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And it sounds like it was, like, a long time before.
No, like, it was. Very, very early. Very early.
Oh my,
like,
God.
Probably the first or second time that I came to Canada.
Mm-hmm. Want to know my biggest regret about that day? That you weren't there.
I know.
Because you would have died.
I know.
You would have died. It was so magical. And the gag is, I did not know that I was getting engaged that day.
But I don't regret that at all. Like, I'm not going to make your engagement about me. Like, I was so happy to see that happen. Because I knew from the moment I told you, something changed within you when this happened. Like, it was different.
Yes.
I had given up on Gigi finding love because that was what was cute.
I didn't know it was such a battle for you. I really thought it was more casual.
Well, I was feeling my oats, you know? I was in my relationship and being like, why are not you not feeling
like you need
the love
too.
I'm feeling?
Uh-huh.
You know, because my narcissism. But but it happened for you way more than, like, way bigger than for me.
Uh-huh.
Like, you guys really fell in fucking love.
Yeah, and it was
I wouldn't say bigger, just different.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, that was silly, it was just, like, rapid. Mm-hmm. And, like, I mean, I have been asked, like, this question about Gigi, like, 10 billion times. And it's just, like, I can't explain it outside of just when you know, you literally know. Yeah. And when I met Gigi, I was still fucked up from the night before. I'd just been at Bootsy Bellows. I definitely drank something, and there was definitely something in that drink. I was off of my ass. I hadn't slept in, like, a really long time. I wasn't in the healthiest of places, like, that's for sure. And I saw Gigi at the airport because we were about to go to Paris, and there was just something instantly there. And, like, I honestly don't think that Gigi, like, paid any attention to me or, like, what I was doing, but I just couldn't take my eyes off of her. And, like,
not true.
No,
I but mean, okay, like, whatever. I was just like, at that
point, when Nats walks in the room, everybody pays attention.
Of course.
Like, let's be real.
Yeah, maybe you were paying attention because I was, like, falling into LAX, like wearing clothes like from literally the club the night before.
And I was going to Paris for the first time, so I had like a faux fur on.
I was
excited for this plane ride. Overachieving. Yeah, like
literally,
full on.
No, and dude, I showed up with one backpack and then an army satchel on the other arm, and that was my packing. Everyone had like 10 trunks. Like, they were ready for fashion week.
No, and Nats was like, I'll just go shopping in Paris and get a new outfit, which is it's a reoccurring thing. Whenever Nats like doesn't want to pack, or doesn't want to like prepare for a trip, or is like, oh, it's so early, whatever. Literally, we get there. I mean, obviously pre-pandemic, and we'll just go shopping.
Makes sense.
Which is amazing.
I mean, why wouldn't I?
Just get a new wardrobe. Everything's clean, but it's just so funny because I had never met anyone like that before. I was like, I plan everything.
What are your favorite and least favorite parts of each other?
My favorite part of Nats.
This is a gnarly question.
My favorite part of Nats is his heart, I think. Like, I was going to say like generosity or like authenticity, but I think that all just stems from a really good heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Nats has a really good heart. Like,
thanks,
wouldn't hurt a soul, like loves animals, loves me, like loves good people. Cherishes friendships, gets fucked over left and right, like so many times, sees the good in people, like forgives, but also like remembers. I don't know. It's just a great heart. Like God built him really good with a great heart.
Thank you.
My least favorite
quality
of yours.
What?
Is maybe your lack of organization.
Messiness.
Really?
Yes. So I have
like
to
not
push
even that messy.
Yes, you are.
No,
everybody,
Matt
looks really confused right now.
I'm literally not that messy.
I have to put so much effort into organizing our closet.
Well, that's different.
Cleaning up the kitchen. If there's mail on the counter, if
you don't do that,
if there's anything, I mean, there's I do.
No, but
that's the gag.
But
yes.
Let's be honest. I didn't put the mail there. I just don't want to sort it.
But
that's not me being messy.
Has 20 packages. I get a lot of mail.
I don't like opening mail.
Open all my mail, but
I don't
his
like
mail
to.
Will sit there, and I'm like, so you don't want to see what's inside? You don't want to put the cardboard boxes away? So I open it, but he
Which
won't
is fine.
Do it.
That's fine.
Yeah. So that's one of my least favorite.
I don't think that's being messy. I think there's just some things that I don't like doing.
Yeah, it's very that.
You guys need to go to couples therapy about this, I think.
Totally.
I don't mind it. I really don't mind it. It's just one of those things where I'm like, okay,
no, I mean,
now
I get
have
it.
To do two
that's
people's
bad.
Jobs.
That's
yeah.
But also, you really like opening packages. So if anything, it's a gift for you.
I do. And I like being organized. I like everything having its place. But just Nats has so much shit. I can't, you guys don't even know. There's just shit everywhere, and it's all $10 Amazon t-shirts and eBay. There's just so many. I mean, there's obviously a lot of nice stuff, but there's just so much
I
shit
don't
everywhere.
Buy my t-shirts on Amazon. That is
well, not
false.
Amazon.
That
you
is...
know what I mean? It's not $1,000 Chanel. It's literally graphic tees from
the 80s.
Okay, I'll stop.
Vintage.
I'll stop
gorgeous, gorgeous vintage from the 80s. Possibly
well,
a $500.
Thin and ripped.
That's
you want to wear this?
Are you kidding? That's gold.
Nats, what
insane.
Are your answers to fave and least fave?
Well, Gigi honestly stole mine because before she even started talking, my first thing is heart. Mm-hmm. But she said that. So I think it's probably three things. Heart, the way that she goes about business because she's so driven. And I just think that's undeniably just admirable and sexy and just dope.
Boss.
I love it. It's amazing. And just there's an undeniable essence that's around Gigi. She walks into a room and just the room's energy and just everything shifts. And I've known that since the first day that we met. And so those
you
are
got three, you only got one.
Now let's get to the real thing.
Yeah.
What's your least favorite?
Yeah, what is your least favorite about me?
Honestly,
is that perfect?
No, yeah, there's nothing that I'm oh, this drives me crazy.
when there has to be.
When you're glam, you don't like it if we're driving in the windows down, and I like having windows down. Like, that's my main thing, because like, that drives me nuts, but like, I also understand it.
That drives me nuts. That's in my relationship too.
I hate that.
I hate that.
I know. And so now I keep the windows up and I just like deal with it. But like, in the beginning of our relationship, I was just like, are you fucking kidding me? Like,
yeah, but, well, actually, I lied. I love being in a convertible. But if my hair is done, don't put the windows down.
Especially if I have makeup on or like lip gloss.
Lip balm even.
Or hairspray. Like, yes. I did my hair. Or I think something that also really bothers you about me is like my lack of time management. Like,
yeah, but I mean, it doesn't.
Because I'm always on time. Like, I'm early, if anything.
No, I am. Always late.
No.
When it comes to friendship stuff, maybe, but work, I'm always on time.
But
and like flights and stuff, like Nats will be like, we need to leave at 5 a.m. I'm like, we could get away leaving at 7.
Yeah. No, okay.
We gotta go up. And I'm like, okay, fine. And then we're just waiting at the airport for 2 hours. I'm like, we could have slept in.
No, but it's like, we're doing Gigi's book tour and we have a new city every single day. So it's 4 a.m. wake up, 5 a.m. airport. 4 a.m. rolls around each time and Gigi's shit is just everywhere and Gigi's refusing to wake up. So like I end up packing for her.
I love unpacking at a hotel.
But like unpacking for the 12 hours that we're there, and then I have to repack everything while you're still sound asleep.
Yeah. That, I personally love that.
I'm sure you do.
Can we do a hard turn?
Yeah.
Can we talk about the elephant in apparently everybody else's room, and I really don't understand it.
What?
Nat's Getty.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Getty. Everybody is so hung up on this. I don't understand it. I don't get it. It always comes up.
What?
Even like, even when Cade was on Drag Race, it's like, oh, he's friends with Nat's Getty. You know what that means. Like, what does that mean?
What does that mean?
What do you think is the biggest misconception about you being a Getty?
That necessarily means anything. Yes. Like, it doesn't. It's... Yeah, like, I understand that my family's, like, known for a lot of different things. Some amazing, some are, like, tragic.
Keyword, but, by the way, tragic.
Yeah.
Like, trauma.
Yeah, I mean, there's, but at the end of the day, we're just a family, and I don't see my family as, like, anything different than the people that I grew up with and the people that raised me, the people that loved me and still love me. So, yeah, I think the biggest misconception is that it really means anything at all. Like, I'm just me.
Exactly. For those who don't know, and I feel so gaggy even like saying this and talking about it, Nats is an heir to the Getty fortune, let's say. That's what people think. And his family has been part of pop culture.
Right. Sure.
Recently. And I just want to say, that's not your life. Like, that's your family. But Nats Getty is so much more than that. Like, it's something else. Right? It's... How would you explain? Like, it's so...
So I'll say, I never knew of the Getty family.
Me neither.
Before, right? Like, growing up in Canada, no idea. But when I started going to LA, you know, on the freeway, I would see the Getty Museum. I would see the Getty Villa in Malibu whenever I would go there, like, to Nobu or whatever. Right. And when I met Nats, I didn't connect the two. Like, I didn't understand that the Getty... Like, those were, like, a family thing. I thought it was literally just, like, a name, like a brand.
Or Getty Images.
Getty Images.
That's what I thought.
I probably thought that's the same thing.
That's my uncle.
Yeah. Yes. Shout out to Mark.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Also funny, the founder of Getty Images. In San Francisco, we were at a gala, and I had this little YSL purse, and I gave it to him, and he pranced across the street, and we did a photo shoot with it. And he's like full married with kids, like was loving the glam. So fun. Yeah, I feel like it's a huge misconception that people just think, you know, Nats is like made of money, and it's like, of course you're an heir, so you just have the world handed to you.
Or bankrolls his friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what is being...
Like, anyone associated, of course, is fine because they're rich now.
Yeah, like, what is that?
And it's not like that at all. Like, I think, like, we've been offered, like, low-key, honestly, high-key, honestly.
Yeah.
We've been offered a lot of, like, TV shows, reality shows, things to get inside of our life because people want to see the dynamic between, like, me and Nats and the family and all that. And we have just politely declined because it just didn't feel right. And also it's like,
there's no drama.
There is just so much more. I mean, there's so much drama, but it's just not what people think.
Yeah.
Like, it is not all like butterflies. I feel like people say more money, more problems, but like, honestly, like more like fame,
yeah,
more family, more people doing shit out there, more problems. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like, it's not easy. Being an heir, being an heiress doesn't make it like, you know,
yeah,
easy peasy for your life. If anything, it makes
it harder.
I
would say it makes it worse.
It does. Like, it really does. It does. And that had nothing to do with me getting with Nats. Like, I feel like his authenticity was what shined the brightest to me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this person, and like, literally, like I said before, we don't spend a day apart.
Yeah.
Like, and my car would be parked outside his house in West Hollywood on Orlando Street. Like, I don't know, 10 houses down from the mobile.
Yeah.
Right across from Hugo's. And I would park my car out there every single day, and I knew I was going to get a ticket, but I didn't care because I didn't want to walk to his house. So I just parked right in front. Every morning I would get a $75 ticket, and I maybe got like 100 of those. And I just,
no, it's crazy.
Like, full on, every morning, yeah, like clockwork, I'd be like, okay, amazing. Get out the gate,
yeah,
get the ticket, put it in my glove compartment box, drive home, rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
Can I tell a funny story? I'm so sorry to like totally detour, but my boyfriend lived in California also. Mm-hmm. He literally didn't know that like parking tickets were real.
What?
He would just not pay them. He'd be like, no, this is not real.
But there's a dollar sign on it.
I know, but he's just like, no. And he got in trouble for that.
Like jail time?
I don't think jail time, but it was just like he would just get them and like, just, I don't know, like get in the mail. And he'd be like, no, a parking ticket for what? Like, he just didn't understand.
That's ridiculous.
It's crazy. People in California, they'll get like blacked out tinted windows and like all this, yeah, shit. And it's just like, pay a fine.
Yeah.
Like, people like laugh at it, but it's like serious. Like, my stickers were expired on my car, on my license plate. And I swear the day they expired, I started getting pulled over. And every time I'd be like, hee, thank you, officer.
They're looking.
I'll change it now. And the next day I'd get pulled over again. I was like, my God, they are diligent here in California.
A couple of years ago, I think now, mm-hmm, there was a movie called All the Money in the World.
Oh, God.
Yeah. By Ridley Scott. Mm-hmm. Which, I'm just going to give my opinion. I think it's so fucking crazy that people think other people's trauma is entertainment.
Well, I think the number one misconception about that movie also is that the family had anything to do with the making of that movie.
Yeah, that movie was
when did you first hear about it or find out about it?
I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I think maybe my mom told me or something like that. And it's based off of like one of the most traumatic times in my family's entire history. And like, I understand it, like Hollywood is obsessed with like tragic and like traumatic instances. And they also have like an affinity for just
exploiting.
Yeah. And just like big families that have like, you know, like, I don't want to say like dynasties, but it's just like, we have a really big family that's been around for a really long time. And that's like kind of all of the things that like Hollywood looks for. Mm-hmm. And
that doesn't make it right.
It doesn't make it right. And like, obviously, like, I wasn't thrilled about that movie. And I never really had plans to watch it or mm-hmm. to like have it. I wanted to ignore it. Like, mm-hmm. I just didn't want it to be a thing. So like, I totally like mentally and emotionally blocked it out because I knew that it was going to be like a really difficult thing for my family to deal with. Mm-hmm. And then unfortunately, that came out, and like pretty much directly after that, there was a TV show, I think, on FX called yeah. Trust or some shit.
Oh my God. That
was kind of about the same thing. Yes. And I was just like, what is happening this year? Like, it's so weird.
It's wild. I think people, I mean, even I feel responsible for my thoughts of like, when I see something related to a family or related to like people
real
in general,
people?
Yes, real people, I'm like, oh, they were executive producer on that. They're telling mm-hmm. their story.
Oh,
and I think
yeah,
that was
no.
what people thought. Like, we've been asked in interviews before,
yeah.
like, so is everything that you put in the movie true?
Which
and it's
is
like,
ludicrous.
You know, Ridley, like, there was nothing to do with this. Mm-hmm. And Nats
nothing.
And his mom were invited to a screening of the movie before it aired.
Yeah, they wanted
Ridley invited
us.
Them and was like, I really want you to, like, see my new work.
Yeah.
And not, like, not knowing that it was so hurtful mm-hmm. to them.
Yeah, and I mean, the only reason I went to go and do that with my mom was because I wanted to, like,
Sorry,
obviously
hold
support
on. You
her.
Went to go to Ridley Scott's
like production office
to
or whatever.
To watch the movie.
To watch the first cut of it before they had to like change the actor because there was like all that drama with like Kevin Spacey or whoever it was. Like
we won't say his name.
Yeah. But yeah, so we went and we saw the first cut of it. And I only went
that's
to
so fucked up.
Yeah, I isn't went to support it? My yes. mom. And
it's like dehumanizing.
It's like, it oh, was, come see this movie I made about you, huh?
Like, and like that what? Was my that was my brother. That was my that's my family.
Yeah, it was. I didn't want to fucking watch it. Like, no.
Yeah.
But I felt that I had to because like I needed to support my mom in that. And the
I'm
craziest
so
thing that all I'll say is about that is that the craziest thing was when it was over. They turned on the lights and Ridley Scott like turned and looked at us and was like, so what'd you think? It's like a masterpiece, huh? And I was like shaking and I just like had to control myself. And I think I just like walked out of the room and didn't say a word.
That's so fucked up.
It's disgusting.
Like what kind of masturbation is that? I made a movie about you. I'm going to make you watch it and I'm going to call it a masterpiece in front of you. What do you think?
When it's like about one of the most like horrific things that's like happened.
It's
like,
horrific. Like, I mean, let's not get into it, obviously. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Like Google it if you're interested. But it's truly fucking disgusting and disturbing.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry that happened.
I mean, I guess it comes with like the uninvited territory of like being a part of this family. But
no, it doesn't. Like it really doesn't. No one is entitled to anything that you have, any feelings you have. No one is entitled to that.
Yeah.
That's the biggest misconception is that people think they can... I don't know, enjoy this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And we were on a flight one time and I was flipping through the movies and it was on the selection. Mm-hmm. All the money in the world was on the selection of movies. And I just looked around. I was like, oh my God, I wonder if anyone around me is watching this fucking movie. So that was a surreal moment.
Yeah. What was actually crazy is when that movie was like available on flights, I don't know how long it had been since it had come out or whatever, but I got like a flood of texts about it. So it was like, Fashion Week, so I guess a lot of people were traveling. Mm-hmm. And the weirdest text that I got was from my old modeling agent that said, I just watched your movie. And I'm like, girl, it's not my movie.
That's
but
what
like,
think.
That's okay, yeah, I just watched
That's
your
what
movie.
Think.
And she apologized to me and said that I'm so sorry that we didn't like tend to you more as our modeling client and like be there for you more. And just like all this shit. And I was just like, what are you... what are you talking about? Like, I just like, I really couldn't understand or like comprehend it. And like, I understand like she probably had like the best intentions with that, but it was just like the strangest thing.
Mm-hmm. Have you watched the movie?
No.
Will you?
It makes me so sad. Mm-hmm. Like I'm seeing Nats here in tears. Like why would I want to be a part of that?
It's sad that people think that it has to do with the family internally though. Like, I thought that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I think that about, but now I think about it completely differently. I'm like, oh, that family must be so pissed. That person must be so pissed how they're depicted. Like, this is not true. It's sensationalized. Everything is fucking fake. And it's just made to be more dramatic than it is. But this situation
it's
in particular is
It's a real thing that happened to real people.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Anyways, thank you for talking about that.
You're welcome.
I will never talk about it again. I don't even like talking about it.
Okay.
During the pandemic,
you
transitioned and came out as trans.
Yeah.
What was the breaking point that triggered you to finally live your authentic life?
I think that, like, obviously the pandemic was, like, horrible and it destroyed a lot of families, a lot of lives, and it's, like, really tragic. But it was an amazing experience to kind of just, like, sit with yourself if you were able to and just, like, reflect.
It was.
Because there wasn't all that much to do. And so I had the opportunity to, like, kind of finally just be silent and have everything outside of me quiet down. And I got to just like sit and think. And I also had the opportunity of knowing that I'm going to come out of this like a stronger and better person no matter what I do, because like what we all went through was like really hardcore. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to just basically get like really real with myself. And I just started, I don't know, like examining my life and got Mick Cade, like one of my best friends in the entire world, went and did Drag Race, and he's trans, obviously, and me and Gigi actually, like, in his words, like, played a huge part in his transition. Like, we paid for his top surgery. He attributes a lot of his understanding of like coming out as trans to like being around both of us and like seeing our lives.
You guys are his chosen family.
Yeah, chosen Straight family. Up, yeah. And he like has said this 100 times that like seeing me and like becoming friends with me played a huge part in him coming out, and being around Gigi did the same thing. And obviously I've been living with Gigi for years now. We've been married for a long time. We've been together for like 5+ years. So I've been surrounded by like 2 of the most like powerful, amazing trans people that I could ever ask for. And it was Thanksgiving or the day after Thanksgiving. And I pulled Kate aside and I was like, I have to tell you something. And he was like, what? He got like really nervous and scared. And we were definitely like a little bit tipsy, like whatever. And I was like, I want top surgery. And he just like gave me a giant hug and he was like, get your ass outside right now. We're telling your wife. Cause I told Cade first.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. And so I came outside and I was just like,
oh my God. Yes. Yeah. And Cade came out and was like, Nats needs to tell you something. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Not serving me with divorce papers.
No, it sounded crazy. The setup was wild. Yeah.
I knew it was serious though. Cause Cade's a jokester, you know, like it's never like that.
Yeah. And so I came outside and I told Gigi, and like Gigi's literal first words were, you better work, bitch. And she stood up and just gave me like the biggest hug and we all just like cried.
Yeah.
And then the next day, Gigi picked up the phone and called the same doctor that Cade got his top surgery done at and booked me a consultation. She was just like, we're doing this. Like, it's happening. You said it. If you felt the need to say it out loud, then you really want it. And like, that was a God's honest truth. So yeah, quarantine and the pandemic was a huge like reflection period for me. And it was just like really empowering and like beautiful for me.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, I can totally relate to with the pandemic, you know, opening your eyes and you get to listen to really what's going on.
Yeah, you look, you tend to look inward, right?
Like
when you really are alone with your thoughts, you think like, am I happy? Who do I want to be? Like, and I know for myself, like just relating it back to me with my transition, like I was thinking about it for so long before I ever said it out loud. So, and it's funny because we would go to restaurants, we would stand in lines and people would be like, ma'am, to me, and be like, sir, to Nats.
Always.
Before, you know?
Yeah, when I
So it was
out,
like a thing.
I
and
was like makes sense.
Sharon Needles. Everyone said that. So Sharon Needles called Nats before he transitioned my weird boyfriend.
No, strange husband.
Strange husband. Weird boyfriend. Yeah. But like Sharon just has no filter like that. Yeah. But like it was like that from so many people.
Always.
So it made sense. But like I was so in it that I didn't know how to like disassociate from it like that, like other people did. So I was fully committed to her. And then when it was like, I want to be he, I was like, huge change is going to have to be made, but I'm on board. I know how it feels. Let's fucking do this. And just like Nats doesn't like to put away his clothes or organize, I knew he wasn't going to get on the phone and book the surgery. I knew he wasn't. So I took the liberty as his wife and did so because I wanted to make it happen for him because I know that's what he wanted.
Yeah.
You put out a beautiful statement. What was the reaction like from everybody?
Oh my God. It was like overwhelmingly just positive and so kind. And I just got like so many texts and like FaceTimes and whatever from people from like my past that were just like kind of basically being like, dude, we've been waiting for this. Like it makes sense. And I had like somebody reach out and say like, oh, I remember being with you like however many years ago. And like I asked you then like if you would you get top surgery? And I guess I answered yes. Like, I don't remember that conversation at all, but I guess that was my answer. And that was before I really knew anything about like the trans community. And I just like, wasn't really like knowledgeable about it. But I guess even then I had the feeling that like my body wasn't right. And it was something that I wanted to change.
Sometimes it takes meeting someone or, you know, experiencing it in real life to know, wow, this is possible for me.
Yeah, no, and I think I attribute like a lot of that to spending so much time with Cade, because spent so much time with you, but like your transness is like very different to mine. You opened my mind up so much. And then Cade came into my life and I was like, oh my God, here's somebody that I can finally, finally fucking relate to. And then seeing Cade on Drag Race, where it was like this gorgeous, handsome trans dude that I love so much expressing this like wild, punky, but feminine side.
Yeah.
And I was just, that just like blew my mind. And it just made me realize like, you are totally at liberty to express like any kind of gender identity. And so Cade being on Drag Race was just like such a major moment of like finally seeing representation that like
you needed.
Yeah, I needed it. And so like that really just like pushed me to finally hitting that wall and being like, okay, there's something within me and like on me that I like literally need to change physically.
My last question, and I'm stealing this from Oprah.
Okay.
From the Elliot Page interview.
Yeah.
What has been the happiest moment since your transition?
Besides telling Gigi and like my mom and like my chosen family that I wanted to, it was getting to see myself the second that the bandages came off.
Oh my God, yeah.
From the like, top surgery.
Yeah, yes. Like makes me like emotional. Yeah, it was just like really, it was just like really major, and you can see it in the video that Gigi put on her channel, like something just like changes. Like I feel like my whole life changed when I got to look in that mirror and like see the correct body like looking back at me.
It's very powerful, that moment.
Yeah,
it was, and like, that's forever. Like when we would have pool parties, it would always be shirt off, but there would always be stickers on the nipples.
Duct tape, yeah.
Yeah.
And like just the freedom to have your shirt off.
That's what exactly what I thought of. Like, he's going to be so much happier.
It's insane. Like, it's insane. Like, you see, like, men jogging outside when you're in the car. It's like, well, why can't women do that? And it's like, having that on your chest and then having it off and being able to take it off. It's like the little things that are the biggest things. Like, me putting on a bra for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, anything. Like, anything that you really want to do, like, physically doing it is like, poof.
Like, yeah,
no, it just feels like, so much better than it like you think it does in your head, like living.
Yeah, no, I would have never assumed that it would feel that. I knew it was gonna feel amazing, but I didn't ever think like, shit, it's really gonna change my life like that much, and it just like totally did.
Nats, thank you so much for being here with us and being so open. I'm a little bit gagged. I need to console myself. So let's take a break and we'll be right back with our queries.
Okay, so we are still here with Nats, my husband, and now we want to hear from you guys. It's time to answer some of your questions, aka your queries. Remember, you can always call in with your questions, concerns, opinions, advice. Literally anything goes at 1-844-QUERIES. That's 1-844-QUEERYS. Mimi, do you want to take us into our first one?
Okay, here we go.
Hi, this is Josh from Philadelphia, and I'm just wondering, what's your guilty pleasure?
Ooh, guilty pleasure. I feel like no pleasure is guilty, mother.
Same, I have no shame.
I would say, like, Keeping Up with the Kardashians is a guilty pleasure, but it's really not guilty.
That's just like literally pop culture.
It seems like
American royalty.
Yeah. Yeah, the first family.
Yeah. Oh my God.
My guilty pleasure would probably have to be Miss Universe. Totally. I just fucking love Miss Universe much. And I know people have thoughts about it, but I just love strong, fierce, beautiful women who can walk.
Oh my and not look down when they walk down steps.
Or else you're nothing.
You're out.
You're out. Nats.
My guilty pleasure is like really bullshit shows. Like,
it is.
Really bullshit.
90 Day like, Fiancé.
No, not even that. Like, what was that one? Down and South or whatever. Party Down South. Like just like.
Laura Bama Shore.
Yeah. Or just like old MTV, like when it was really bad. Like one segment before the commercial was like 3 minutes long. Just like, and you can only watch it on YouTube because like nothing will stream it because it's just like that bad. I love that.
Love that. I bet. Okay. Our second question. Here we go.
Hey, Gigi and Mimi. This is Chloe from New York. I've been dating my partner for a few years now, and we're actually moving in together soon. Since you're both in long-term relationships, I was just wondering how and when you knew your partner was the one for you. Thanks. Love you both.
Oh, good question. You're both
cute. Yeah, it's cute.
Okay. You guys go first.
I'm going to say I knew Nats was my one when I think, you know, it's hard to say because I always like could see myself like, oh my God, this is so tea. Before we started living together, mm-hmm. it was a huge moment for me because I had never lived with anybody.
No, freaked out. Was like not down to do it.
No, and I said, Nats, you know, I'm giving up a huge part of my independence. Like, yeah. I would like put it
like,
on him.
Would like crazy. Fight with me, like be mean to me. And I was just like, okay.
Yeah, I was like, do you want me to move in or not? Like, it was crazy.
Just be like, yes, please.
And he was like, yeah, I said that from the beginning. I'm like, but do you really mean it? Like, yeah. Just crazy. I would say I knew you were the one when you met my family, maybe, or like connected with my grandparents.
Like, yeah, that was
is
huge.
A huge thing. Meeting the in-laws is a humongous thing. And I feel like my family is very easy. Like, they're not like savage, crazy drama all the time. But but my grandparents, like, I respect their opinions so much. So when they met you and you vibed with them and like, we would be at, you know, group gatherings and it would be just be Nats and my grandma. Just them in a corner.
No,
and I was like, oh my God, I think this is the man of my dreams, officially.
Yeah, no, I feel like I agree. When you met my entire family, it was just like, damn, you can keep up with this, then I'm so down. But like also for me, it was like crazy because when I look back, like I know it sounds like cliche and like weird, but when I first laid eyes on you, it was just like,
love
this is,
sight.
It was, it totally was. But like, obviously like meeting my entire like extended family and you just like getting into it with them and just like being able to hang.
You know, that movie Monster in Law with Jennifer Lopez?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's sometimes how it is, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like your mortal enemy is like your mother-in-law. But you just have like the best family. And my family
adores
you.
Yeah, we became like totally immersed with each other's family, which was just like
I don't even
icing
want to
on
tell
the
my answer now.
It's half the battle. Like getting with each other is one thing, but if you really want to get married,
half the battle,
you're dating the family too.
Yeah.
Especially with like us, like we are really loud and proud people.
Yeah.
You're dating the family.
With like giant families.
Yeah. Big thing, yeah.
Okay.
Me.
Next question. Me?
No, yeah.
Do you know how some people have something called imposter syndrome?
Yes.
Like they feel like they're never good enough. Like, yeah. I'm the opposite of that. Like, I feel like I know everything.
So you're entitled and privileged?
Oh my God.
I don't know. I just can't relate to that. So I think like, oh, everybody's so stupid. Like, oh my God.
I see that for you.
You
yes.
do, right? You
yeah.
do. So when I knew that he was smarter than me, I was like, oh, he's the one.
Totally.
Like, he's smarter than me.
100%.
Oh, I love that.
I
yeah,
see that vibe
yeah.
when I see you both together. And like, I love it.
I just want to feel stupid. Like, I,
God, why?
No, I'm kidding. Not
I can
stupid.
Make that happen.
I'm joking. But I just want somebody who, like, I feel is at least, like, this is going to sound crazy, my level. At least, like, someone I can look up to. Someone I could admire
totally.
Their knowledge and intelligence, you
so
know?
Do you
someone
have,
I respect.
Mm-hmm. You have daddy issues, then.
Is that what that means?
No, I love my dad. Like, my dad is my everything.
Does your dad love you?
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
Yes, and you know this.
Yes, I know. I'm just
yes,
kidding.
Yes, no, my dad, love languages, right?
Right.
My dad's love language has always been acts of service.
Love.
Like, and he's always done so many nice things for me, and that's passed on to me. So no, I don't think I have daddy issues.
Okay, just a question. Don't attack me.
Or maybe
me.
Is that a daddy issue? My dad's too nice
yeah,
to me.
Dads. Yeah, my God. Next question.
Next question.
Hey guys, this is Diane from Illinois, and I want to know what your favorite road trip snack is. Love you,
Diane.
Favorite road trip snack.
I mean, we're ending on a really high note here. I would say my biggest one is chocolate. I have to eat chocolate every single day. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. I just need chocolate. So, you know, Hershey's cookies and cream is one of my faves. Mm-hmm. M&M's peanut butter. M&M's almonds. Toffee. Twizzlers. Mm. Buttery popcorn.
So
all of it.
Yep.
Okay,
just all of 7-Eleven.
I'm prepping for a BBL currently, so anything that I can get in me is great. Need to build up that body fat percentage.
All right. I mean, I feel like all the road trips I've ever done are based in and around California, so it's In-N-Out.
In-N-Out.
Oh, yeah, that's such a good one.
Yeah, protein burger, animal style fries, Perfect.
Oh, so true.
And a pink lemonade, like, I'll see you. Like, that's it.
You love lemonade.
Yeah. I don't know the name of the snack, but since I live in Canada, a lot of my road trips go down in upstate New York. So I go on the New York State Thruway a lot. It's this pretzel with cheese in the middle, like pretzel bites with cheese in the middle, like baked cheese. Pressed? No, it's like tiny little pieces of pretzel.
Like in a bag?
In a bag. Do you know what it's called?
No.
Like Wetzel pretzel?
Yeah. No. Like pretzels at the mall.
Please let us know. Call in if you know what I'm talking about.
Auntie Om?
Yeah, are you kidding? It's Anne's.
Oh, that sounds gross.
Should we take more?
Yeah, let's do another one.
Okay. One more question. Our last question before we go.
Hi, this is Cass, a.k.a. Cass Season. I'm a really big fan of your new show. And my one question is, after a wild, crazy, drunken night with your friends, what is your favorite thing to do the next day? I'm talking, what do you like to eat? What are you watching? What's the goss? Or maybe just tell me about one of the most wild nights you've had together. Thanks.
So which one?
Okay, so this is a four-part question.
Cass. Wait, let's say hi to Cass.
Like, would you like to know my mother's maiden name as well?
Cass, this is our friend Cass Season, who has been a part of a lot of our drunk nights in Canada. What do you guys like to do after those nights?
It depends. Honestly, like, I feel like I'm still fine when it comes to hangovers and stuff like that. Like, mm-hmm. I'm never, like, debilitated. I just feel like my life just goes on. Mm-hmm. I wake up. I work every day. I work every morning. Just sometimes it takes, like, a little bit longer for me to wake up. But I'm never, like, I'm going to stay in bed all day. Like, me. Never.
Yeah. No, never. Which is, like, so annoying. Because, like, we will have, like, the same night, the same amount of, like, everything. And I'll be, like, debilitated. But, like, honestly, like, it's weird, but, like, it almost excites me because I'm like, okay, so what happened last night? And so all I need to get out of bed is, like, a recap of everything, and then maybe, like, I'm into the next day. And
oh,
just,
Nats,
like,
loves a little catch-up session.
Yeah.
Nats is the Perez Hilton
yeah.
of situations. Like, give me all the tea. Like,
no, what I was love said. It. I love it.
It is so, like, you wouldn't think, but he was like, he's just very, like, so they, what was their reaction?
No, yeah, like, I don't care about, like, celebrity really? Shit, but, like, if something happens within a friend group, I'm like, tell me everything.
I'm the opposite. Oh, I'm God, like, so forget, you hate forget, her. Forget. Like, nothing happened last night. We're all good. Let's eat.
Oh, no, I'm like, tell me more.
Yeah. We'll probably
so you
gossip.
Fought.
Yeah.
So you fought.
Like,
and
so
she
are you
cried.
No longer friends?
Wait, that makes
can
sense.
Can I get a statement?
Oh, so you had a threesome then.
Yeah. You like, had that moment with me, like, you dragged Amanda Lepore across the dance
yeah,
floor.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, no,
yeah.
I didn't know. I didn't please.
And you know she was mad, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Nats is like the Wendy Williams of the trans male community.
No, yeah, I love it.
Oh my God. Okay, thank you so much. This has been so fun, right?
Yeah, this has yeah. been good. I feel like we honestly did just an Oprah sit down TED talk.
Yeah, thank
it.
You for making me cry.
Thanks for being open for real.
Of
I mean,
course.
I know, like, since we started dating on The Real, you haven't been the most open or public about your story. You didn't sign up for this, but when you started dating me, you
I
got
did.
Into it. Yeah.
yeah.
And you really, like, you just, like, impress me every single day.
So. Oh, babe. That's so sweet. I love you so much.
I love you so much.
I love you so
Gigi,
much, too.
I love you.
Love you, too, bitch.
Thank you for being on Queerified.
Yeah, I'm Queerified now.
Thank you so much to our guest, The Nats Getty, and thank you for listening. You can follow Gigi on Instagram at GigiGorgeous and me, Mark, at Mark Maverick.
And as always, Queerified is a presentation of Ramble, a Cadence 13 studio. Please listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes. Available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening again. And until we see you guys in our next one, love you so much. You've been Queerified.